Thanks for listening to the True Vine Ministries podcast with evangelists John and Anna Duke. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or online at truevineministries.com. Now here's evangelists John and Anna Duke.
Hey, what's up? It's Anna Duke. I want to thank you for joining the podcast today. We're going to be talking about the subject of prayer a little bit. I've recently taken a new focus on prayer and how it can bring the breakthrough in my life, and how I really just dived into how Jesus prayed. I figured if Jesus did it, then it's the way we should do it. There was many times that he would leave his disciples to go pray, and those around him seeing the importance of prayer, because the disciples even asked him, Lord, how should we pray? And that is where the Lord's Prayer came into place. Now, if you break down the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is literally saying that you pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that means that we should be praying that our will is the same as his will, that our will be what he wills to be done. So as we walk this earth, it shouldn't be consistent praying of, Lord, can I have this or can I have that? But Lord, let your will be done in my life. And through that, we have to be able to lay down our desires that are not of God and make our desires of God and move into what he's called us to do. And maybe that looks like quitting your job. Maybe that looks like stepping out on faith in different circumstances. But you have to understand that when you give your life to his will instead of yours, that is when you will find divine peace, divine joy, divine perseverance, that you would be able to have everything that you've been looking for, everything that you've been desiring, those things that might seem like they're missing will be then given to you. So when you look at that, when you ask for God to give you his will and take away yours, you're actually stepping in alignment with what his plans and purpose are for your life. Now, his plans and purpose are good for us. They're plans of hope and a future and not to harm us. They're even for prosperity. If you look at the verse Jeremiah 29:11, it talks about how his plans and purpose are for us. And it talks about that they're not to harm us. So if we line up with his will, we'll actually be lining up with his plan and the purpose that he has for our life, making our life fruitful. But another thing about the Lord's Prayer is he talks about forgiveness. He talks about as we forgive those who trespass us, Lord, forgive us. So that means as we come to God with prayer, that we need to be able to forgive those that have hurt us, and that we need to be able to walk out in that forgiveness so the Lord can forgive us for the things that we've done. Because we cannot be like a judge that continuously walks around judging other people and thinking, well, you don't know what they did to me. But we don't look at what they did to Jesus. And even on the cross, Jesus was able to say, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. So we have to evaluate when we come to God that we need to, and we are having hurt towards people that have trespassed against us, hurt of those that maybe have backstabbed us or lied to us or abused us. We need to look at the fact that even as Jesus stood on the cross, he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. The reason people do those things to us is because they legitimately don't know what they're doing. I'm not saying that they're not knowing that they're abusing you or that they're not harming you in some way. But they don't have understanding of what they're actually doing emotionally, physically, to even themselves. While they act upon you, they don't understand the prison that they're entrapping themselves or the harm that they have coming upon you. They don't have a full understanding of it. They're most of the time are pushed by evil spirits like anger or jealousy, rage, these things that we don't move in when we don't have the Holy Spirit living inside us, when we're not obedient to the Holy Spirit. And another thing we need to be thankful. to the Lord while we pray. We need to thank God for the things He's doing in our lives, and how he's moving. We need to have a thankful heart and a thankful mind, and that's what helps us see the blessings around us that He's already given us, so that we can have a grateful heart when we come to Him in prayer. And we need to be like Jesus, who went away to pray. As He would go and pray, He set the examples for His disciples. The disciples even seen the importance of His prayer and asked Him, Jesus, how should we pray? They wanted to know, how should we pray? And when He gave them the example of how they should pray, that honestly wasn't even enough, so that when He went away to pray, the disciples actually fell asleep during their prayer time. They didn't take it seriously. They didn't understand the importance of it, to the point that Jesus even came back and rebuked them for it. You couldn't even pray with me for an hour. I'm not saying today that you need to start off as your prayer as an hour prayer time, but as you commit yourself to maybe a 10-minute prayer time, if for those that aren't used to praying more than just a sentence, I can't imagine if you just had a sentence with your spouse or your children for a day, what kind of relationship you would have. But for us that are wanting a greater relationship with God, us that want a greater revelation of who He is, and we want to see signs, miracles, and wonders take place, then we need to be people of prayer. We need to be people of communication, someone that has an open line of communication to God, so that we can see God move. A lot of times we talk about prayer, but there's more talk about prayer than prayer that actually gets done. And if we prayed more than we talked about it, there'd be more of the signs and miracles and wonders that I'm talking about. And so as Jesus left, I mean, as I was saying, he rebuked His disciples. You couldn't even pray with me for an hour. Can you imagine being the disciples that got rebuked? You couldn't even pray with me for an hour. Wow. Wow. Yet we have these major things that are about to happen in our lives. We have these things and situations that we want an answer for, but we can't pray for an hour about it. Well, like, we start to pray and we get distracted. The enemy comes and says, do you really need to pray? Is it really doing anything? Is it really going to help the situation? I don't think it's really going to help. I'm not sure it's really going to, you know, bring forth but the Bible says the prayer of a righteous one revealeth much. Prayer has power. It says, James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It's powerful and effective. So for it to be powerful, it has to have something that is different. It has to have something that moves. To be effective means that it actually works. Something that's effective works. So prayer works. And it's not just, it doesn't just work, but it's powerful for those that live righteously. The Bible also says in Matthew 7, chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. That's amazing. That's amazing. The Bible says, ask and it will be given to you. Do you need questions answered? Do you need questions answered? Because prayer is the answer to your questions. Prayer is the key to your breakthrough. Prayer is the weapon that you're going to use for spiritual warfare, that's going to give you eyes to see what the enemy is trying to hide from you. And a lot of, we might say that we're just too busy, but the problem is we are not too busy to pray. We have just not prioritized prayer in our lives. We prioritize paying our bills. We prioritize making our lunch, breakfast, and dinner. But we do not prioritize enough prayer into our lives. by doing so, we're actually causing a hindrance in our life. Those things that you're actually concerned about, that you're trying to take care of with work or finances or communication with your spouse, could actually be answered by prayer. Yet we're not using that key that opens the door to the breakthrough. We choose to go around the four walls, knocking and hoping that we can get in, that someone or something will come from the inside. But the problem is, we have the key to it. We're just not putting it in the door to unlock those things in our lives. So today, I want to encourage you to pray. If Jesus prayed, if he went away, if he was alone to pray, if he taught people to pray, if we're running ministries and we think that we can do it without prayer, if Jesus had to do it, then we should be doing it. And it's actually an opportunity. It's a blessing and honor that we have a God that we can talk to, that answers prayer to the righteous, that answers prayer. If you knock, if you seek, you will find, and the doors will be open for you. Amen. I hope this blessed you today. I hope you receive something from it. And I can't wait to talk to you again. God bless you.